I remember being afraid to bring things up to you because when I did, much of the time, it was turned back on me. And I don't think you were doing these things on purpose to hurt me. You were just trying to keep your secrets from me and protect yourself. You couldn't handle my big emotions, so you turned them back on me to prevent me from getting too close to you. Has your marriage been shattered by sexual betrayal? Are you wondering if it's possible to save your marriage, or even if you want to?
Your story matters, and there is hope for your marriage through Christ Jesus. Welcome to Beyond Broken Vows podcast. I'm Johnny.
I'm Emily.
And friends, we've been where you are.
Our marriage vows were shattered by adultery fueled by pornography. But through a commitment to recovery, our faith in God, and our hope for redemption, we set out on a journey of healing. Now our marriage is better than we ever could have imagined, and we give God all the glory.
On our show, we'll talk through difficult topics, infidelity, porn addiction, recovery, and more. So if you're ready to move from pain-filled todays into hope-filled tomorrows, grab your favorite beverage and spend a little time with us.
Marriage is redeemed.
Hearts renewed.
On Beyond Broken Vows podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Beyond Broken Vows podcast. We are your hosts, Johnny and Emily Spiegelmeyer.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We hope you had a good weekend and maybe even engaged in some self-care.
Yes, Emily, self-care is always really good to engage in, and we found ourselves in need to do that as well. And this past week in our newsletter, we let our insiders know that we were going to bug out for the weekend. You had your best friends in this world over to our house for a whole weekend.
Mm-hmm, did.
And as a return in kind, I left and went down to the Texas coast to visit some friends.
Yeah.
And we were able to get out on the water. It was too windy for sailing, but we did some repairs to his pontoon boat and got that out and had to sail it from one marina to the other. And that was good. Just to be out on the water was fun.
Yes, we both had so much fun. And actually, it was amazing timing for us girls because 3 out of 4 of our incubated pea chicks hatched on Saturday.
I know. We have shared so much about our peacocks and our pea chicks, from peacocks that are crying out in the background during our recordings to eggs that explode in incubators and stink up the studio.
Yes. But it was very exciting watching that miracle of life. It's just such a joy.
And we actually had to take them out of the small cage that they're in and move them from our studio so that we could record today.
Yes, because those little cheeps get really loud. Yeah, it's really sweet.
If you remember last week, we talked about full therapeutic disclosures and infidelity polygraph.
We did.
That's quite a heavy subject to talk about, and it was really powerful and full of good information. So check that out if you missed it.
Yes, and we want to share a review that we received from a listener, and he and his wife are utilizing these tools in their marriage recovery journey.
Today's review comes from Hellaman CDN from Canada, and he titles it Right Time and Right Place. And he says, "We are currently right in the middle between disclosure and an impact statement. And this podcast has been such a saving grace. Somehow my wife found it and sent it to me. Your journey mirrors ours almost to the day. The age we met, the number of years married before Discovery Day, number of children, and almost everything in between. This podcast is one of 3 or 4 key tools that gives me the hope to carry on and move from day to day, and that the future, whatever it holds, will be better than today."
My goodness, that is so exciting to hear that the full therapeutic disclosure tools are being used by a recovering couple. Because like we said last week, we didn't get to use these tools because we didn't know about them.
Right.
But we certainly understand that there's benefit to be had in utilizing them. And to know our podcast is one of the tools in someone's healing journey is so humbling.
Absolutely agreed. You know, you and I, we have determined that we're going to put these podcasts out regardless of the results. But when our wonderful listeners take the time to affirm us in what we're doing, it's really helpful. It really gives us that little bit of extra punch to help us move forward as we understand that we are making a difference. And we're so grateful to those of you who've made a choice to lift us up with your affirming words.
Yes, that's so true. So we just want to say thank you again to Heliman CDN, and we apologize if we've butchered your Apple ID, but all the way from Canada, we are just grateful and we're praying for you and your wife that your recovery would continue to move forward in healing and greater intimacy.
And as he intimated in his review, that if you use the tools, they work and they are helpful.
Yes. And friends, the fear that you're never going to get over the pain of betrayal and that your marriage will never be what you had hoped for is so real right now.
You know, you're feeling stuck, not knowing how to fix your marriage, devastated by your destructive behaviors.
We know you're asking yourself questions like, can I forgive his betrayal and ever trust him again?
Is there any chance that I can move beyond my persistent sexual integrity issues to become the man that I started out to be?
Is there hope for our marriage?
Is connection and true intimacy even possible?
Well, these are questions that we asked ourselves when infidelity fueled by pornography shattered our marriage.
We want you to know that you are not alone and that there is hope. Every couple that has experienced a shattered marriage through sexual betrayal has felt what you're feeling right now.
Every great redemption story starts with surrender. You're tired of trying to do this on your own, and you know that you need to give it all over to God and start moving forward, but you just don't know how or where to start. You're ready to say, I don't want to live in this pain anymore.
I don't want to hurt my spouse anymore.
I'm done with fear.
I'm done with passivity.
I'm going to step forward in faith and declare that with help, God can lead me on a path of forgiveness and recovery to a marriage full of connection and true intimacy.
We want you to say yes. Today's the day. So go right now to coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com with a shared experience and a marriage that did not just survive, but is thriving. We want to come alongside you and do this together.
With God in the center, you'll find healing and restoration that you're searching for. So let's do this. Go right now to coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com. That's coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com.
So Emily, after betrayal, big emotions are a reality.
Absolutely.
And when expressed well and received well, they can be a catalyst for healing and growth.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Today, we're going to be talking about those big emotions, what they are, and how to handle them properly. We're also going to give insight to the benefits of working through the big emotions together to promote connection and intimacy. We're excited to share our perspective on this topic as we lived it and learned from it. But first, Emily, would you please pray for us?
I absolutely will. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another opportunity to invite you into our podcast today. You are amazing. You're so faithful. You are Lord. And we just acknowledge your majesty, your glory, your power, and your grace and mercy in our lives. And so as we talk today, Lord, about these big emotions, emotions that are created by you, and sometimes when they get really big, we don't know how to handle them. So Father, help us as we go through this show today to outline your plan for how to handle big emotions in a way that brings life, in a way that brings healing, and those results would be felt in the lives of everyone listening today. Thank you for your goodness, and we just bless those who are listening today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Emily. You know, as you were praying, I had a thought that occurred to me.
What is that?
God's not afraid of our big emotions, is he?
No, we are sometimes.
Yeah. When you've got a set of really big emotions just coming right at you, or you find yourself as the one that these big emotions are coming up out of, and it's just really intense. It's like, wow, it can seem to be a scary thing, but not with God.
No, he can handle it.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Emily, so what are some of these really big emotions?
Well, first of all, anger. That's a big emotion.
Yeah.
We can also have frustration, fear, hopelessness. There's more, but these are the ones that I can remember feeling whenever my emotions became bigger than I could contain.
And I remember some of those big emotions when it occurred. And what we discovered along the way is that although initially the biggest emotions did occur at the onset of discovery of the betrayal and then disclosure after that, as we're now working in recovering the marriage, trying to get back to intimacy, we discovered that along the way that frequently these big emotions came as a result of triggers.
Yes, triggers. And Triggers, of course, we've mentioned before, they come up without warning, without our permission, and it can happen at any time.
That's right. And because they can happen at any time, you really have to settle into some kind of a game plan for when it happens.
Sure.
I think you and I were really in a on-the-job training kind of thing. We discovered that when the triggers were coming, maybe in the beginning, we weren't handling them very well, i.e., the big emotions from a trigger are coming from you toward me. And I started to shut down, but then came back out of my shell to respond in such a way to connect with you. And then we could move forward to a more or less automated response through practice, where when the triggers occurred, I could understand that, okay, this is the time to show up like an adult male.
Yeah. And I did also have to learn to share my big emotions sooner so that they didn't explode and cause more damage.
Right. And that brings up some really good points. So as we talk about these big emotions from her side as the betrayed and then his side as the betrayer, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on from her side as we understand it?
First of all, I just want to encourage wives who are listening to find your voice to express your big emotions. You know, wives may refrain from sharing their true emotions because they have a fear of offending or upsetting their husbands. And that fear comes from a couple of things that I can think of. First of all, a false belief of carrying the responsibility for his happiness. That's really managing his emotions, which is not our place to do.
Right.
We don't exist for the be-all, end-all of his happiness.
That's correct.
And then the second thing is that we have a fear of our husband's response based on previous responses from the past.
Well, this one looks like it could be a little more in-depth. Why don't you run that down for us a little bit?
Well, I remember being afraid to bring things up to you because when I did, much of the time, it was turned back on me. And I ended up in a puddle of tears, feeling like I was the one who had done the offense. And it just really tore me up. And I felt so unseen and unheard. So these responses from husbands can frequently look like anger, justification, deflection, manipulation, and at the very worst, gaslighting.
That's a pretty long list, Emily, of responses that you're saying came from me toward you. Is that correct?
Yes. We didn't really know what was happening at the time. I certainly didn't know. And I don't think you were doing these things on purpose to hurt me. You were just trying to keep your secrets from me and protect yourself. And so through recovery, we've discovered that this is really what was going on. You couldn't handle my big emotions. So you turned them back on me to prevent me from getting too close to you.
Yes. And so the purpose of this show, as we give hope and we let folks know that they're not alone, I would give benefit of the doubt to a large number of the men out there that they're actually not intentionally trying to hurt their wives when they do this. Just like you said, they're just trying to protect the pain and the shame that they've got going inside themselves. And really what they're trying to do is just move away from the subject.
Right.
With whatever it takes to do that. And when you mention anger, justification, deflection, manipulation, and at worst, gaslighting, I just want to say from my side that I view gaslighting as the most heinous of them all.
And why is that, honey?
Because that really starts to touch on the reality that the wife is feeling. So gaslighting isn't just telling our wives that what they're saying isn't true. It's leading them to believe that something that is true actually is not.
So you're messing with their perception of reality, about themselves even.
That's correct.
And it makes you feel a little crazy sometimes. You know something in your gut, but then when somebody gaslights you, you start to wonder if you can correctly ascertain the truth about anything. And you think your judgment is then skewed. So then you're less likely to bring things up. And so it works perfectly for a husband who is employing these tactics.
Right, it does. And Emily, when all of these are employed, where does all this lead?
When all these negative responses come from a husband to his wife, they all add up to not validating her feelings and her needs.
Yeah, that's right. And the wife can be left feeling as though it's somehow all her fault now.
Right.
Just as you said that I had left you feeling that way on many, many occasions.
Yes, you did. So praise God, you don't do that anymore.
Amen.
Okay, and so wives, I had encouraged you to let these big emotions out because even if you try to keep them in, inevitably they will come out one way or another. And keeping them in can even possibly result in poor mental and or physical health.
Wow, that's big.
Emotions are powerful. It's amazing that emotion can cause a physiological change in your body. So it's very important not to bottle all of this up.
Yes, and we have talked about that on many occasions with regard to holding back forgiveness for others. It can have the same outcome. So it seems that when we talk about just holding emotions in at all, let alone the big, intense ones, that they can really have an effect on us physically, mentally, emotionally, and in so many different ways. I remember hearing you telling me that it affects your work. It can affect your confidence in yourself to even be able to function every day.
Yes, it really can. It's powerful. So let those emotions out, even the big ones, because by doing so, it's really practicing open communication through those really wonderful things that we like to talk about, transparency, vulnerability, and rigorous honesty.
Yeah, those are quickly rising to the top for us as our big three. Transparency, vulnerability, and rigorous honesty are the key to really moving forward toward connection and intimacy.
Right. Now, big emotions will often come out in an explosive way, like a dam bursting, and that's so normal. However, these emotions are best expressed by using I feel statements.
Okay, tell us a little bit more about those.
So instead of you don't care about me or my pain, or you ruined the dinner party for me because I couldn't stop thinking about you with her, or you aren't working your recovery plan. You, which is an attack and can really shut your husband down and elicit all those responses that you don't want.
Right, even though maybe your anger is justified, it's still just at this point not helpful, and that's really what we're trying to get to.
Exactly. So I feel statements are more like I feel frustrated when my pain isn't felt or validated. I feel really angry when I have triggers that ruin events for me. Like tonight's dinner party. I feel scared when I don't see progress in your recovery plan. And those are a lot less offensive ways to communicate.
So, Emily, why don't you bring into our discussion a real life example of what we've been hearing from some of our listeners and clients?
Oh, sure. Yeah. One of the things that we often hear is when a wife says to her husband, "When I see you looking at other women, I feel like I'm not enough."
Yeah, that's a really good example. When she uses the I feel statements, it's not an attack, but it's communicating clearly what he has done and how she feels about it.
Yes. And you know what? These big emotions can also be necessary at times just to be taken seriously.
This is such a big one. When you and I were talking about this earlier, we were able to tie it to another very real life situation with us. Why don't you share a little bit about that with us?
Oh, you mean with parents and children?
Yes,
Yeah.
yes.
Right. Because if you're a parent out there, you understand this, that when you tell your kids to do something over and over and over again, or to not do something over and over again, it finally gets to the point where you raise your voice to get their attention to make sure that they're going to respond. And that is so unfortunate. You know, we really don't like to raise our voice to get our kids to pay attention to us.
Right. And like you just said, sometimes it becomes necessary to do that just to get the point across.
Right. So even with adults, sometimes those big emotions can be like a bullhorn that says, pay attention, something's wrong. Hear me.
So maybe what you're saying is that at times when you as wives are explaining to we as husbands how you feel, we're just not getting it.
Yeah. I think that's pretty safe to say.
Right.
There is a scripture that speaks to this from Ephesians 4, 26a. We want to share it from the Message paraphrase version. And it says, go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry, but do not use your anger as fuel for revenge.
Absolutely. And I think that that scripture once again puts so concisely the very idea that we're trying to get across. Your big emotions are legitimate. They are real.
Yes.
They are worth getting across when it becomes necessary to do so. But it also admonishes us to not do it in such a way that causes harm or to be just utterly sinful when we do it.
Right, right. So, Johnny, why don't you go ahead and talk about the husband's role in all of this as a responder to her big emotions?
Right. So our role, as those big emotions are coming our way now, and men, kind of close your eyes and mentally think, yeah, I've seen those big emotions. I remember what that looks like. Absolutely. And I'm thinking about that myself right now. And so our first part in this role is to absorb the impact. It's coming. It is time to stand there and be ready to receive it. And what this looks like is that you're going to give her the freedom, and you're going to give her a safe space to express those big emotions. If she's not safe to express them with you, where else is she going to be safe? Is it reasonable to believe that if she expresses these to a trusted girlfriend, that anything is going to get better at all? Is there going to be any forward movement? Does it make a point to the husband if our wives are doing that to a therapist, pastor, or a good friend? Well, the answer to that is no. She needs to be able to express those emotions to you. You're the one that she trusted the most in this world, even if we've shattered it. She wants to trust us. Emily, I always felt that you wanted to regain that trust again right away, and you were looking for any reason to be able to place that trust in me again.
Yes.
And one good step was when I allowed the space for those big emotions to come at me.
Yes, absolutely. I always thought during our whole marriage that you were the most trustworthy person that I knew and that I was safest with you. And that was all shattered, but that's what I really longed for. I really wanted that. And it's not easily gained after betrayal. It does take a lot of time and work and healing, but it doesn't take away that desire for it.
Absolutely right. And men, the next thing that we can do is active listening. We need to be listening to understand, not listening so that we can fix her or listen to her so that we can start working on our story. We're listening to understand exactly what it is that she's saying so that we can give a thoughtful response.
Yes, so you're not trying to fix or justify in the middle of her big emotion.
That's right. So that moves us very quickly into when we're listening in order to give a good response. That response should be first and foremost to validate her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
These feelings are real. It looks like using statements like, I imagine you must feel like dot, 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 and identify that emotion. Mm-hmm. But this isn't something that we do as robots just because we put it down on a form and say this to your wife.
Right.
It has to come from a genuine sense of, I want to understand what's happening.
Yes, because you know what, gentlemen, a wife will see through that in a heartbeat.
I'm just going to say it right away. You ladies are masters at seeing through our lines of BS.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's not genuine, we'll know it.
That's right.
And so what's next, honey?
So after validating her feelings, it's now time to respond with kindness and with empathy. And this looks like asking the question, what do you need?
Right. And you know what? She may not know what she needs. When the emotions are running high and the adrenaline is spiked, wives may not know what they need in those moments, other than maybe some space to process. But it's always good to ask anyway, because eventually she'll be able to start to formulate the answer to that question.
Right.
And really express those needs.
Right. So there were times I remember that when we got to this point and I did ask you, what do you need? And you did answer in such a way that said, I don't really know what I need right now, but what I need is space.
Mm-hmm.
It means you were looking for a wide swath of space between me and you, where I'm not just in your face trying to solve your problem, trying to understand what you want. I'm giving you space while remaining present and available. This doesn't mean I just say, peace out, baby. I'm going to go to work. When you get it figured out, you let me know.
Right.
Yeah, that's a total slap in the face.
Yes.
Just so that we can make that clear. That is not what we're saying. To remain present and available doesn't mean that you can't part ways and go to work, because that's necessary. That's reality in our lives. But if she's going to text you through the day and say, I need this, well, you need to be present there. Or maybe when you come home from work after giving her that space and you're tired and you're ready to relax, and she's now ready to say, this is what I need. That being present and available means at any time or at all times.
Yes, really, honey, in all of this betrayal recovery scenario, it's all about the heart attitude. We can say these words and we can do these things, but if there's no real, genuine, heartfelt care that's coming towards your spouse, then it's meaningless. If it's just something you're doing because you know it's what she wants to see and hear, it's not going to last. It has to be something that comes from the heart that's true and genuine. And that's what makes all the difference.
You know, Emily, you're right. And when you say that, it kind of reminds me about how we've been talking about thriving versus surviving lately.
Uh-huh.
And the difference between sobriety and recovery.
Mm-hmm.
We as men, we can make all the right statements. And those are checking the boxes and trying to, you know, sort of keep things settled. But if there's not a heart change and it's not heartfelt, we're not really in a place where we're moving forward.
Yes, that's absolutely true. I agree.
So the last thing I wanted to communicate in his role when responding to her big emotions is that this requires a lot of emotional maturity in order to do this well.
It does.
This is the opposite of childishness.
Right.
But it takes some practice. Practice makes perfect. You're not going to get it right the first time. So if it doesn't go well the first time, don't stop.
Right. Don't give up.
Try it again. It'll be worth it. It'll take some time, but with practice and patience, eventually you will learn how to respond appropriately to those big emotions that are coming at you from your wife, who is hurt and devastated by the betrayal and pain that we as betrayers have brought into our marriages.
Yes, and again, from Scripture, we want to bring out Proverbs 15:1 in the NIV translation. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger.
Emily, when you and I came across this one, it was like the bullseye for exactly what we're trying to communicate.
Yeah.
The big emotions are going to come out of the wife, and they're going to come toward the husband in this scenario. And when we receive them and we turn them back with a soft answer, we can turn away that wrath. But if we're going to remain hard and we're going to go back on the attack, it's just going to stir up anger. It's that hornet's nest, and things will only continue to get worse from there. So always be ready to look for that soft answer to return for those big emotions that are coming.
God is so smart, isn't he?
Amen.
He's the best teacher from which to learn good communication skills.
Absolutely. So, Emily, here's our word for today. And it comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. And of all the episodes that we've done, we have never used this passage, which is known as the love chapter.
Right. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? But we're going to do it today.
So for those of you who know this one by heart, go ahead and say it with us. Those of you who don't, just receive what's being said. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7 in the NIV says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres.
Yes, and here's the hope. If we can humble ourselves and surrender our own will to God's will in our marriages, He will help us to live out this passage of love. He will help us to respond in love and kindness. It can't be done without the power of Jesus working in your life. So let him in. Let him take charge of your marriage. Let him take charge of your recovery. Give it all to him because he's there waiting for you to turn it over to him. So, Johnny, would you close us out in prayer today?
Yes, I will. Father, thank you so much for giving us this time as we talk over the really big emotions that exist as a result of betrayal. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And we thank you, Father, for these words of wisdom that we can put into practice so that we can learn how to turn away wrath with a gentle answer. Lord, you are so gentle with us. And again, like we said in the beginning, you are not afraid of our big emotions. If we're not afraid to express them to you, you receive them, Lord, with a tremendous amount of love. You're not offended by them and you're not afraid. You want to receive them so that you can give us the comfort that you long to give us and you have always longed to give us. We thank you, Father, for the time spent together today with our listeners and the time for this discussion. And we pray, Father, that those who are hearing it would be blessed by it and would find something in our discussion that would help them and their spouse move forward from the pain that they're currently in to a path that leads to true intimacy. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Johnny. So as we wrap up, we just want to say, wives, go ahead and find your voice. Share those big emotions.
And husbands, when those big emotions are coming at you, it's time to stand there and take it like a man. And when I say like a man, be ready to respond with a gentle answer because that is the most manly thing that you can do.
Yes. And above all, let love rule the day.
Amen. Couldn't said it better myself.
If y'all have any questions about anything that we have said on our show or need any resources that we have mentioned previously, go ahead and write to us at support@beyondbrokenvows.com.
And have a great week. And remember, during difficult times, Jesus loves you. He's waiting for you to talk with him and be gentle with yourself because you're doing a really hard thing.
So until next time,
marriage is redeemed.
Hearts renewed on Beyond Broken Vows podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. And before you go, if this podcast encouraged you and you're feeling some hope for today, please share this show with someone else you know who's going through a similar situation and needs to know they're not alone. One of the best ways you can help us reach more people is to leave us a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. And as always, we would love to hear from you with questions and comments. Just email us at support@beyondbrokenvows.com. As you walk out this journey one day at a time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.